Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13. And today we are going to read texts 12 and 13. I will read 12. Before that, we will try Sanskrit and English for both. And this is Sanskrit, those whoever can see from the distance. So we will recite together. If you can't see, please accept my apology. The translation is, thus being questioned by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Mahatma Vidura gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Now we come to text 13, translation. Compassionate Mahatma Vidur could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Purport, according to Niti Shastra, civic laws, Niti Shastra means civic laws in bracket, one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Distress comes upon us in its own way by the laws of nature. So one should not aggravate it by propaganda. For a compassionate soul like Vidura, especially in his dealings with the beloved Pandavas, it was almost impossible to disclose an unpalatable piece of news like the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, he purposely refrained from it. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namam Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Istapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to say something from the verses, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam. Although most of you here are more learned and more exalted, much more exalted, I should not be speaking in front of you, but it is for my purification. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna here, Srila Prabhupada here, all of you exalted Vaishnavas here, it is causeless mercy of the Vaishnavas. I'm trying to say something. Hope I'll get your blessings so that I'll be able to say something. The text 12 does not have purport. I will read out the translation for both text 12 and 13 once more. Text 12, the translation is, thus, being questioned by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Mahatma Vidur gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. And the translation of 13 is, compassionate Mahatma Vidur could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. This is Srimad Bhagavatam is a big ocean, unlimited ocean. And for a person, a tiny creature like me, to swim in this big ocean is mission impossible. We can only try whatever we can. Vidur was always affectionate towards Pandavas. He did not like Kauravas, Duryodhan and his sons, Dhritarashtra. He was not discriminating. He was not partial, but he was the supporter of virtues, humility, respectfulness, and high moral character. And these are only some of the characteristics of Pandavas. Vidur always liked Pandavas. So he was very affectionate towards Pandavas. Did I say Vidur or Dhritarashtra earlier? I meant to say Vidur, he was always affectionate towards Pandavas. When Yudhishthira was born, there was a celestial voice. And the celestial voice, when Yudhishthira was born, he was gorgeous and lustrous child. And after all, he was the son of Dharmaraj. And there was a celestial voice. That voice says, this child will be devotee of the Lord. He will be highly powerful, famous throughout the three worlds. He will be known as Yudhishthira. That is one side. On the other hand, when Duryodhan was born, there were very bad omens, like braying of asses, screaming of vultures. These are all bad signs. Jackals were howling and the wind was blowing fiercely. And when Dhritarashtra saw this, he was in panic. Vidur was the chief advisor. I think he was chief minister. Is that right? But he was always, when Dhritarashtra in the palace, he had to make some decision, he always invited Vidura. He always consulted Vidura. And Vidura, we will come later on. Prabhupada mentions his instructions on political matters are excellent. And there is Vidur Niti as well. And Vidur was invited. Dhritarashtra asked, Vidur, will this son inherit my kingdom? Will he become king? He was so much attached. Dhritarashtra wanted to hand over his kingdom, not to anybody else, but to his own son, Duryodhan. Dhritarashtra wanted to give the kingdom. So he asked Vidur, and Vidur, he was, in a sense, at least materially, was protected by Dhritarashtra. Financially, at least, he was working. Although it is very highly dignified position, but he was paid by Dhritarashtra. But at that moment, Vidur, like usual, he didn't hesitate to speak the truth, the reality, fearlessly. Vidur says, Dear King Dhritarashtra, this son will be the cause of his own race. You have to abandon this son as soon as possible. And Vidur says, for the sake of family, one person can be abandoned, and for the sake of village, one family can be abandoned, and for the sake of city, a village can be abandoned, and the world itself can be abandoned for the sake of soul. Vidur goes, and Vidur says, this is not my statement, this is from the scriptures. So abandoning, if you cast away this child straight away, there is no sin. You will not incur any sin. But we know that didn't happen. Vidur's instruction was not carried out. So much so, Duryodhan was spoiled by the love of his parent, especially Dhritarashtra, and he has one his own uncle like Shakuni, who always misguided Duryodhan. So from the early age, Duryodhan was very envious. He was the offense, embodiment of offense. And he was evil from the early age. The older he grew, the amount of his offense, the degree, the level of his enviousness also increased. So much so, one day in the royal assembly, of course, I'm cutting the long story short. In the royal assembly, Duryodhan insulted Vidur. When Vidur told that, Vidur, when he advised, Dear King Dhritarashtra, please do not listen to Duryodhan. You have to give the Pandavas share. If you can't give whole kingdom, at least you have to give half of it. Vidur advised this. It was Dhritarashtra did not like it. And Vidur talked truthfully he spoke against Duryodhana because it was necessary. Although the verse says Vidur didn't speak to cause distress for Pandavas, here Vidur is speaking the truth because it is necessary. He was in the role to give advice. When he was asked to give advice, it is good to speak the truth fearlessly. And Duryodhan could not tolerate. He expressed harsh words against Vidur. It was insulting. although Vidur did not take it so much as he was not upset by insulting words, but he took that as an opportunity to leave the kingdom, to leave the palace. Vidur decided to straight away leave the palace. So he put down his bow on the door and Vidur left for the forest. He actually went on pilgrimage. Some devotees, when we face some difficulties in life, we get bewildered. We get confused. Here, Vidur left his dignified position financially. He was well paid and he was in better position. He was the advisor of the emperor of the whole earthly planet, Dhritarashtra. He was emperor of Dhritarashtra. It is that dignified position. But actually, it was not Dhritarashtra who was ruling. It was Vidur, in a sense, ruling. He was controlling Dhritarashtra by his advice. And he left that prestigious job. If we lose a job, if I'm a householder, if I lose a job outside, I will think, oh, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I come to your temple to do little bit service. I chant 16 rounds. Although most of the times I fall asleep when chanting round. Although if I'm not sleepy, I at least, I'm still half awake. I chant like that. Even if I'm not sleepy, I'm awake. My mind is remembering everything else but not the holy names. I'm doing this sort of devotional service, Krishna. Why are you doing this to me? I would have said that. We get disturbed. We don't know the superior hands behind everything. Krishna's superior hands. We get disturbed and we start questioning. Krishna, does Krishna really exist? Is all this really true? All the scriptures really true? We get disturbed. Here, Vidur was not disturbed. He was not unhappy. He was not upset. He left home, left the palace. He went on pilgrimage. He was very happy. So, then Vidur was not an ordinary personality. In today's verse as well, the verse mentions Mahatma Vidur. Maha means great, Atma means soul. Vidur was Mahatma. He was, after all, incarnation of Yamaraj. He was incarnation of Yamaraj. And who was Yamaraj? Who is Yamaraj? Yamaraj, I checked in the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust glossary, and the meaning is, although we know it, but it's difficult to say. It may be difficult, so the meaning Bhaktivedanta Book Trust gives very beautifully. The demigod of death who passes judgment on non-devotees at the time of death. He is the son of the sun god and the brother of the sacred river Yamuna. That's by BBT, in BBT glossary. And normally when we say Yamaraj, we take it a bit negatively. When we were a child, we used to hear Yamaraj, Yamaraj will come. Yamaraj will look upon you. We used to get scared. Oh, Yamaraj. Oh, we used to feel scared, afraid of Yamaraj. Then Yamaraj is actually Mahajan. Who is Mahajan? There are 12 Mahajans. Maha means great. Jan is personality. He is one of the 12 Mahajans. He is one of the great devotees of Lord Krishna. There are 12 Mahajans, and Yamaraj is one of them. And he was great. The evidence is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamaraj was great. He gives very beautiful instructions to Yamadutas in somewhere in Bhagavatam. And there is a Bhishma actually advised Yudhisthira in Mahabharata, Mahajano yena gata sapantha. That verse is also mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita 17.186, I came to know. And Mahajano yena gata sapantha means one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate. So Yamaraj is one of the Mahajans. In Canto 6, for your pleasure, I would like to share something from Canto 6, Chapter 3. The Supreme Personality, Yamaraj says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. If Yamaraj was not Mahajan, he would not be glorifying Krishna like that. And he further says, he is the master of everyone and everything. Krishna is the master of everyone, everything. Yamaraj says that to Yamadutas. And he is the master of everyone, everything, including the illusory energy. And you all are, when I see Vaishnavas, it's amazing. One day my wife was chanting and she didn't feel, somehow her mind was disturbed. On the way, she talked to me. I tried to focus my mind, and when I looked on the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, then I thought, at least I'm so fortunate to chant in front of Vaishnavas. These lotus feet are very rare even to see. Then I learned, wow, this is very good realization. It is, how did she, it's not that she's great, she got this sort of realization. It is because of the Vaishnava association, the potency of Vaishnava association. Even people like her, people like, persons like me, can realize something like that amazingly. And one day she, in the beginning, we used to come attend 6 p.m. lecture, then have prasadam. Before that, attend Gaur Arati and go home. And on the way, one day my wife was again, she was glorifying some brahmacharis. Look at that. They are picking the rubbish. They are doing very menial service. That glorification is very good because glorifying Vaishnavas, that planted good seed in her so that she could do some devotional service. So it is very helpful. And here, Yamaraj glorifies Vaishnavas. I will read out in Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 18. Yamaraj glorifies Vaishnavas. For your pleasure, I'm going to share. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu, who are worshipped even by the demigods, possess wonderful bodily features, exactly like those of Vishnu, and are very rarely seen. The Vishnu Dutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. Yamaraj is saying, Vishnu Dutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction. Yamaraj is declaring, because he's Mahajan. Personalities like Vedavyas, Shukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, they have accepted him to be one of the 12 Mahajans. He would not speak any nonsense. So he is giving the fact here. Likewise, Vidur, Yamaraj being the Mahajans, Vidur, incarnation of Yamaraj, he is also Mahatma. So back to Vidur again. Talking about Vidur, after Vidur left, he went on pilgrimage, met two amazing personalities, which we will mention, time permitting. One verse I would like to read out. This describes Vidur's pilgrimage. Vidur, he began to travel alone. This is from, by the way, Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 18. He began to travel alone, thinking only of Krishna. Through various holy places like Ayodhya, Dwaraka, and Mathura, Vidur went all those places. He traveled where the grove, hill, orchard, river, and lake are all pure and sinless, and where the forms of the unlimited decorate the temples. Thus, he performed the pilgrim's progress. And in that purport, Prabhupada writes, Vidur, therefore, could see nothing but Krishna in the different arts or forms. So, Vidur could see nothing but Krishna in different arts or forms. And ultimately, he was able to realize Krishna alone and nothing else. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, in this way, great personality Vidur been to different pilgrimages, and he meets two exalted devotees, exalted personalities. Could anybody of them, of you, name one of them? Uddhava and Maitreya. Thank you. They were exalted personalities, pure devotees of Lord Krishna. A person like me has no qualification capacity to describe them properly. He not only met them, two great personalities, he also heard from them the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. He met two great personalities. That itself very important. And the place where he met them, the places he met them, are also very important. Vidur met Uddhava on the bank of Yamuna. That Yamuna river, we are fortunate to take a drop of Yamuna river on our head. Every morning we chant Gange cha Yamune chaiva Godavari Saraswati. And on the bank of Yamuna, Vidur met Uddhava. And Uddhava, he is always exalted, but Krishna had very recently left the earthly planet. What his mood would have been? His beloved Lord had left the planet. It was unbearable for Uddhava. In that mood, Uddhava was in that mood, and Vidur met Uddhava in that mood, and Uddhava describes Krishna's glories. And finally, Vidur asks more. Uddhava advises Vidur, "No, Vidur, you go and see Maitreya Rishi nearby." So, second important place is where he met Maitreya Rishi was on the bank of Ganga. Ganga River, Mother Ganga comes from the toe of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Patita Pavana Ganga River, and on the bank of Ganga River, Vidur met Maitreya Rishi. And Vidur, Maitreya Rishi told Bhagavatam to Vidur. Maitreya Rishi talked about, of course, transcendental pastimes. They didn't talk about anything else, any nonsense. Oh, my pilgrimage was this. It was raining sometimes. Sometimes I was hungry. Sometimes I was tired. It is unsafe. They didn't talk like that. One day, my Guru Maharaj, he texted me, Dharmavir, can you please pick me up? I'm coming from Scandinavian Yatra. Please pick me up from Manor. Take me to Soho Temple. And when he texted again, he said, oh, Dharmavir, German police is causing us, stopping us, and Austrian police inquiring us. It seems that we are going to be late, and I won't be arriving. I will be updating you, but I won't be able to arrive within the specified time. He said all that to make me aware that Guru Maharaj will be late to arrive. And on the way, when I picked him up, on the way, he talked to me. Oh, then he says, it was the best Scandinavian yatra I ever had. It was amazing. So he forgot all the difficulties, the distress, disturbance caused by police. So every exalted devotee is like that. So what to speak of Vidur? And so Vidur, then after hearing the transcendental teachings from Maitreya Rishi, comes back to Hastinapur. That's where this chapter starts. Vidur comes back. Everyone is happy. Yudhishthir Maharaj is happy. Whole family gathers. Vidur was welcomed. He was given prasadam, then sufficient time to rest. When Vidur was fresh, Yudhishthir Maharaj asks question to Vidur about Krishna. How is Krishna? Maybe you went to Dwarika. How is Krishna? How are Yadu family, his associates like that? Yudhishthir was not saying, Uncle Vidur, I have acquired this kingdom. I'm emperor, like that. Yudhishthir didn't say like that. Whole family and the other people, associates gathered there. It was a Mahasangha actually with Vidur. And Vidur told everything. But he did not mention that Krishna, he didn't mention the annihilation of Yadu dynasty. He didn't want to cause distress to Yudhishthir. And Pandavas, they were very affectionate to Krishna. Yudhishthir, this reminds me, Yudhishthir always wanted to serve Krishna. Recently, devotees revealed their realization about Shruti Dharma Prabhu. And one of the main qualities of Shruti Dharma Prabhu, everyone said, he always wanted to serve. Yudhishthir Maharaj here, similarly, he always wanted to serve Krishna. And one day when Yudhishthir Maharaj was organizing, was to arrange the Rajasuya Yajna, Yudhishthir Maharaj says, my dear Lord, please assist us to perform this Rajasuya Yajna. Please bless us. I would like to show the world how your devotees are and how the non-devotees are like. I want to show the example, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Here, one point mentioned is, Vidur did not want to say something which is annihilation of Yadu dynasty to cause distress on Pandavas. Vidur knew, they will eventually come to know about it anyway. I better not say in this short time I'm here. This reminds one verse. Well, before that, I would like to mention that Yudhishthira, when he regained the kingdom, he still wanted to serve Krishna more. He didn't forget. This reminds me one pastimes from Ramayana. When Sugriva regained his kingdom by the mercy of the Lord Ram, for 4 months Sugriva forgot. He was involved in sensual pleasure. Hanuman had to remind him. Hanumanji reminded him. Lakshmanji had to come, reawaken Sugriva. When he got the kingdom, Sugriva was completely different world. He forgot his promise to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram finally sent Lakshman to remind Sugriva. Lakshman furiously went to Sugriva. This reminds me that in Bhagavad Gita, this is the mercy of Lord Ram, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. Bhagavad Gita in text 30, there is a verse, chapter 9. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in this, in his determination. And text 31, Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Krishna says that. So this becomes true when we see the example of Sugriva, how Lord Ram mercifully sent Lakshmana. Lord Ram didn't need Sugriva and his 1 million or so armies, monkey armies, to defeat Ravana. But Lord Ram's mercy, he wanted to engage Sugriva, even if he was completely absorbed in sense gratification, forgetting his promise to Lord Ram. Still, Lord Ram wanted to remind Sugriva. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Finally, I won't be able to cover all the notes, but I would like to conclude by saying that when a person comes in, a film actor comes to this country, for example, in Heathrow Airport, whole immigration staff, all the staff, duty-free staff, security staff, they talk, wow, so-and-so film actor is coming. But here we talk about the personalities like Vidur, Yudhishthira. These personalities are the transcendental celebrities. When we take it for granted, thanks to Prabhupada, we read about them and we just say, oh, yeah, okay. But these personalities, when we say, oh, Vidur, oh, Yudhishthir, it doesn't happen like that. These personalities, when Suta Goswami names them, he names them with transcendental pride. Yudhishthir, Vidur, like that. Shukadev Goswami, Srila Shukadev Goswami mentions them. He feels happy to name Yudhishthir, Vidur. And what to speak of them? Narada Ji himself comes to them to see them, to see Yudhishthir. Narada Ji came again to Yudhishthir's palace. And of course, when he was not king. And what to speak of Narada? Lord Krishna, he leaves Dwaraka, service of his beautiful Lakshmis, beautiful queens. He leaves the service of his associates. All the way from Dwaraka, he comes to Hastinapur, Indraprastha, to meet Yudhishthir. These sort of personalities. And we are so fortunate. We can learn the devotional service through devotees. And we can learn the devotional service through personalities like devotees like, exalted devotees like the Yudhishthir. It is 8:30. Finally, Prabhupada mentions in Niti Shastra that Niti Shastra says, Niti means moral science, Shastra means scriptures. Niti Shastra means Niti Shastra means moral science. It is one of the instructions from Niti Shastra is, do not speak unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. And there is a, finally, I would like, please forgive me, I would like to add one point about you should not speak unpalatable truth. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text 15, Krishna says, austerity of speech consists of speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literatures. With that statement, I would like to end here. Thank you so much for listening to me. And if time allows, I don't know if there is quick comment, correction. Thank you so much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanande.